Lions with it, second and goal from the 8, down 6, but on the move. Chris working from the gun, looks out to the right, now checks out that Viking defense. Takes the snap, back to pass, looks right, got Chase in the end zone, touchdown, Detroit Lions. That's it, packs the bag, starts the plane. This game is over. How big is that? And now it's time to start the Detroit Lions podcast.
Lions fans, it's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The show where Kool-Aid runs blue, faces turn red, and rose-colored glasses never go out of style. This is the Detroit Lions podcast, your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection. And now, the guys people are talking about when they discuss monkeys and footballs. Chris and Case.
Hey, howdy ho, Lions fans. Welcome to the Detroit Lions podcast. This is episode 269. I am your official host. I guess it's the official Detroit Lions podcast, right? I am your official host and dashing host, Chris. With me is a good friend, Case. How you doing, brother?
Good, Chris. The new graphics look amazing. I do want to say, I think maybe you put in a lot of work for nothing, though, because I'm going to make a proposal that we switch this to a beer podcast, given that there is absolutely nothing to talk about.
So. Wow. I'm done with beer. Beer's okay. We can do something with that. I'm feeling it.
We resisted it before, but...
We have.
We can only resist so long.
We've resisted a lot of things in our time, haven't we? Got a lot to talk about today, Lions-wise. Fantasy football's coming. We'll talk about that. We've got a mailbag of a couple questions. We'll also take questions out of the chat, maybe a phone call or two with some questions as well. We've got an upcoming special episode. We got our schedule. We're going to talk about the training camp party. We're going to go a little bit around the division in a short little circle. We got that. We got a whole lot more coming up. Case, are you ready to go, my man?
I am. Bubbles up, buddy.
Oh, God. Why don't you just hop to it?
Let's kick this hop off to it. And break it shit. Down.
Oh, that's terrible. It's terrible. This is what happens. A couple of months of quarantine. Everyone's worried about putting on weight. It isn't the food weight. It's the liquid weight, right?
Oh, God, yes.
All right, a couple of quick announcements first. Check us out and help us out on the Patreon. Special thanks to Dylan from
Guam.
That's right. Of course, our very first donor, Mathis, and Brian B. from I Prevail. What's up, Brian B.? iPrevailBand.com. Sweet new video came out 2 weeks ago. Make sure you check that out. It's good stuff. Love those guys. You're putting out good stuff. They all join us on our Slack chat, the private place for chat, which we started a fantasy football league, a dynasty league for the Slack folks amongst the Slack.
I saw that.
Yeah. A little good time for us to hang out. We may, if there's enough people like to do it, we'll maybe do a second one or whatever. We'll see. We'll see how it works out. Case, maybe you and I can co-chair that team a little bit. And I don't want to hurt them too bad. Sure, so I can bring you in to help take us down, right?
Sure. Gotta use an anchor sometimes.
Yeah, just to make people want to come back. Anyway, you become a Patreon member, you get access to that Slack, and I'll be honest, with very little Lions news, a lot of the talk has been in some of the other channels about some of the other stuff, but there's great conversation, great people. I gotta tell you, the little barrier of putting like a dollar in the way gets rid of the trolls and the slag and the other stuff that wants to join into that kind of thing and give people a hard time. It is the most intelligent chat on the internet with the Lions and really any of the other channels as well. Patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. If you go there, you sign up, donate as little as a dollar a month. A little bit more is great too. Anyone that does that, that's all fine. But as little as a dollar a month will get you in and get access to the Slack and the chat and everything else. Case, Riz, I'm there. It's a good conversation. Patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Support the podcast and help keep us doing this for free. For you. Give us a like on Facebook. Facebook.com, the new Facebook. It's alive and well. We're checking it all the time, doing stuff there, making it more active and interactive. Facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast. Instagram, Detroit Lions Podcast. And on the Twitter machine, at DET Lions Podcast. DET Lions Podcast, the very best place to see the Case Master.
As the fifth member of the Beatles.
Yeah, no, it looks good. I like your background here. This is a YouTube version worth watching, I gotta say. Subscribe on that YouTube, now that I haven't mentioned that. See what I did there? They call it a segue in the business. Subscribe on YouTube, youtube.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Get in there. You can hit the notification bell so you know when we go live. We're going to talk a little bit of about our schedule here, and I'm going to do a little couple vlogs in the middle of the actual shows with information as it breaks from the Lions and as we start putting stuff together at our party and some of the other stuff that we got going on. You'll get there. You get those notifications and know when we are live and you know when we get new stuff up. Rate us, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, iHeartRadio, wherever you find us. We love those ratings. Remember, those are forever. So 5 stars is much, much, much appreciated. And if you want to give us a review that's a little, maybe not perfect, maybe not 5 stars, maybe Case needs a shave or Chris is just a little off that one time, let us know. Let us know in the subreddit, though. Do it there. And we've always got a post at the top of the subreddit. Just go in there. Let us know what you think, and we'll absolutely work with you to figure out what it is to make the show better. It's the community show, and do your part. Own your part. There in the subreddit. Give us a call via Skype, Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast, or call us on the Lions line, 929-335-4667, 33-LIONS, it's 929-33-LIONS. Leave a message, you get a chance to hear yourself on the show. Let's do this.
Tighten your chin straps, kids. It's time to review this week in Reddit.
All right, it's time to talk about all the fun and exciting things going down this week in Reddit. I did that. I got that out. I can now take a sip of alcohol. The first thing I want to talk about is fantasy football. It is on the menu. Case, what do you think? Are you a fantasy football fan, or are you just
No, I won the league with the mods and former RNFL mods last year. I'm feeling pretty good about how I did, and I'm ready to roll that into another successful season. So
I did last year. I did something I don't do. I finished
one. Oh.
Generally, I come out of the gate pumping right until the playoffs, and I'll lose the first game of the playoffs and then be frustrated at the end. It's like having a boil over, right? and I'm not talking at the stove. So you get there, you get down. This time I kind of limped into the playoffs and I fought my way up into third place. One win, I could have been into that final goal, but that was okay. It was a good time and well fought. And I was in the money. I was finally in the money. It was nice. I was first place the other two, the previous 2 years that we did that until the playoffs and choked out week one. Just went and I went over to my neighbor's house, kicked his dog. It's horrible. All right, so we got fantasy football. It is our biggest fundraiser of the year. This helps us pay for the servers, the bandwidth, all that disk space, the equipment, our Creative Cloud subscriptions, all the stuff we need to keep this thing going. We really, really work this out with you guys, and appreciate everyone who takes place. We will have the page go up on the website here very shortly, probably within the next week, to get people signed up to play. It's a 50-50 deal, right? So half of the money goes into the prize pool. Half of the money helps support the podcast. Again, we thank everyone very, very much who plays. We're going to, we had 3 rounds of money last year and 2 rounds of t-shirts. I think we're going to do that as well this year. So get in, get on board, play against Case, play against me. See what it, if you got what it takes. Look, if Case can come out on top of the RNFL mod pool, right? He's passed a low bar. He should be able to at least come in like 15th. No, we don't have that many people in the league, right? But we're doing fantasy and we're doing pick 'em just like before. And we'll do a big money pool and a smaller money pool just so people can get in if they want to just do it as like a little side bet, a little fun. So anyway, like I said, great fundraiser for us. We appreciate everybody who supports the show along the way. This is a great, we try to do everything we do. When we try to do fundraising for the show, we try to do it in a way that you can either have fun or you're getting something out of the deal. We don't just straight, you know, sell something that's nothing or do straight fundraiser kind of stuff like that, right? It's trying to, we always try to look for value for you guys along the way. So this is one that's a lot of fun. It's, you know, a good 15 weeks of 14 weeks of action plus the draft ahead of time and smack talk in between so that you get a lot out of this. This is a lot of fun. So thanks everyone for who joins us on the fantasy football. Case, did you have anything else you wanted to say? Like any kind of challenges you wanted to throw out or anything? We can play.
No,
back
I did. I did have, I sadly just due to the uncertainty of the world at the moment, I did decide to postpone my idiots league that I was going to run for friends and family members who have literally have no interest in the NFL. I was going to run an idiots league this year and just have them all draft and see what happened. The chaos was going to be entertaining, but we're postponing it for a year. We'll do it next year.
Not one, there's enough chaos. But the downside to this case is it seems like there's a lot of easy to identify idiots out there right now. We're really missing out.
So. I was really looking forward to it. I really was. Like, I'm very excited about it. I'm still excited about it. It's just going to have to wait till next year, I think. Okay. So,
All right. So we're going to get into the Q&A here. We're going to start out with that. Not a whole lot of breaking news. I mean, there was the signing of Julian Aquara. Important for him, important for the team, all that, but it was a given, right?
Inevitable. We don't need to, you know, people freak out about it every year, but it's, you know, there's what, maybe an average of one player in the entire NFL who has held out, maybe less than an average of one
in the new CBA,
over the last, you know, 10 years. So,
yeah. The CBA before that, maybe, but not anymore. So, I mean, there's guys that have quotas for articles they have to do, so they're thankful that came through and they could get one or two out of that one. But
get on it, Jeff. Yeah. There you go.
Jeff. Oh, and Jeff's not here today. We apologize. He's he weathered some storms and his internet took the night off on him, so he's host. All right. Let's get into the Q&A. We got a submission from Greg Martin. Let's see here. Sorry, a little something in my throat today. Greg Martin asks, so we know Quinn obviously has a certain type of wide receiver he likes. He's curious as to our thoughts as to why that is. Do contested catch guys play better to Stafford's strengths? Or is it more because these type of guys run block better than speed wide receivers? Case, I'll pose that to you. I have opinions on that. Not rehearsed, but I have opinions on that. But I want to let you go ahead and spit your thoughts first.
Well, first of all, I think we're looking at a very limited sample size of wide receivers. You know, you've got maybe five guys that Quinn has brought in with any expectation of producing, and that's just not a lot. I'm not saying that I don't agree that there is some value to the thought that the contested catch guys work really well with Stafford. I just think that he's gone after the guys who are really good. And if there had been a guy that he felt was valuable at the spot they picked, instead of taking Quentin Cephas, who is, you know, another contested catch type player in theory, as opposed to that, if there had been a speedster or a technician at that spot, I think he would have, I don't think he wouldn't have gone that direction. I think that was the guy they had highest on their board. And there were probably other players that had they picked other places in the draft would have been higher or, you know, would have been the value at those places. So I think it's an overrated concept. I don't think it's as important as some fans think it is. It's easy to look at, you know, a few players and draw, you know, long-term conclusions. But I think that a lot of that is just circumstance.
Sure. Let me push a little too. I agree. I don't disagree with you at all, actually, that he took the best player available to fill the needs that we had at that point, right? I don't think that's obviously something that any decent GM would probably do. I think, though, we value wide receivers a little less.
Yeah, I know. I would agree with that too.
Than other teams, and I think the needs we had at so many other positions superseded the need for wide receiver early that gets you some of those quicker guys. Now, with that being said, the question about contested catch guys playing better to Stafford's strengths, I think Stafford can carry guys who do well in the contested catch situation. Kind of like the Stafford windows idea, right? Okay, I've got a small place to put it in. I can do that because I'm Matthew Stafford and I'm a beautiful human being and a gorgeous man. Can I just, as a sidebar, we can talk about this later, but it just hit me like in the last week that he resembles Elon Musk. And once you see that, you can't unsee it.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It's like. But anyway, that being said, those guys are guys that Stafford can make look good or can work with or can find success with. So it's not as important. I don't want to say not as important, but it's not one of the primary things. That speed thing is the primary thing that Bob Quinn is looking for, or even Matt Patricia Matt Patricia, or Daryl Bevel. God, why am I having terms of those names? Aurora Warrior. Okay. Those are guys that they don't seem to, they know that Matthew Stafford can do it with. Now here's the big trouble, right? What happens with Matthew Stafford, right? You have a real difficulty if he gets injured this year, and you're now starting to look for that other player, because the wide receiver may suddenly become a hot item for you as a team, right? That may change. But the reason we have the wide receivers that we do and the skill set that we do, I think, is strictly because of what Matthew Stafford can do and how they fit with him on this team.
I mean, I agree on some level, but I also think look what he did with Marvin Hall, you know, a guy who's not probably making half the rosters in the league. Mm-hmm. And all Marvin Hall has is speed.
Right.
And I'm not suggesting that Marvin Hall was an incredible receiver, but Stafford clearly took advantage of the situation when he was able to get deep open. And I think, you know, in a perfect world, they'd love to have a guy like, you know, a Tyreek Hill, or play, not necessarily the dude himself,
right,
but somebody with that skill set. I think they'd be able to take advantage of that, but it's not just saying that you'd like to have that kind of player and actually finding that player either in the draft or in free agency that's so much easier said than done.
Where was where was Hill drafted at? Do you know what round?
I don't remember. I don't remember at all. I want to say third or fourth, but
We haven't. When's the last time we drafted a wide receiver that high? Kenny Galladay, right? He was third. Yeah. I mean, we just haven't. Those kind of guys aren't available when we're drafting wide receivers.
Yeah.
I don't think we find that as a problem if we're Bob Quinn.
No, and I agree. I will say I do actually. I'm not sure we've actually talked about this. I love Quentin Cephas as the potential guy that we used to use Anquan Boldin as. That was Anquan Boldin's season in Detroit was one of my favorite things I've seen out of the way we've used wide receivers. And obviously a lot's changed. You know, the offensive line is completely different. The offensive coordinator is completely different. The head coach is different. You know, like there's so much different, but Stafford is still there, and Stafford knew how to use Anquan Boldin. And if Cephas is able to be that kind of player, that's what I'm excited for him as. I'm excited for his potential in the slot. I'm not necessarily excited for his potential as a outside wide receiver.
There you go. All right. Good question. All right. For those that came in and the folks that watched this on the YouTube afterwards, we had a new opening video montage we put together. We'd love to get your feedback on that in the comments. So if you have some time, just hit us up in the comments. Let us know what you think about it. We've got another piece I'm adding to it this week, but a little bit of stuff. And we got the new background here. If you guys give us some comments on in the chat or on the in the comments themselves, I think we'd love to know what you think of the new look. We're kind of knocking some of the dust out of the workshop, as they say. All right, let's see. Another question here. This one's from Brandon Kerr. You may have heard of him. He's our best friend from the show Ozark.
Mm-hmm.
Don't kill me, Brandon. Do you think that Swift and Johnson can be as good as what the Vikings had last year with Delvin Cook and their other running back who has moved on?
Madison.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I mean, Madison looked pretty good too, but who moved on from them? I don't remember.
We'll catch that in the chat.
Yeah. And Abdullah's still there. Yep. And, you know,
but he's fielding kicks, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's his role. And then
to
really,
Cook later, but
really,
yeah.
Really deep on the, the running back charts there.
I mean, I absolutely, because I think Kerryon Johnson, and this might be sound homerish, but I think Kerryon Johnson is almost as good as Dalvin Cook is when they're healthy. They both obviously have that issue of staying healthy. I think Kerryon Johnson is, and not in the same way that Dalvin Cook is, but in lots of ways, I still think that he is. You know, the injury issue has taken focus away from him, but when he's healthy, we've seen some really impressive things from him, both, you know, even in the preseason and in training camp. And it's unfortunate. It's so unfortunate because he's one of my favorite players we've drafted. And this seems to be a running theme with the Lions. You know, I love the running backs that we draft. I loved best. I even really liked LeSean. I was so in love with that combo, and then injuries happened and neither of them was able to be what we wanted them to be. We've just seen it time and time again. And unfortunately, Kerryon is just the latest in the string here.
Yeah. And so there's almost a direct correlation with Kerryon and Dalvin Cook.
But at least Swift doesn't have that background the way so many of our other running backs have had that background. So that gives me hope. And I do think Swift is a really talented back. I do think he was the best back drafted in this year, even if you want to say that it was not a strong running back draft at the top of the top end. Mm-hmm. But I think he has plenty to show. And I think that our run game already, even under Bo Scarborough for a good chunk of last year, looked improved. And I think between those two guys splitting carries, I definitely could see us being at least an average, if not above average, rushing team in terms of yards per rush and in terms of yardage and in terms of all the metrics you want to look at when you're looking at what makes a valuable run game. And it would not surprise me in the least if this is the first year since, you know, what, Reggie Bush, that we have a semi-competent run game. The first year of Reggie Bush, not later when he started dropping everything that got thrown his way.
Yeah. So what I was saying, I think there's a good analogy between Dalvin Cook and Kerryon Johnson on the injury front. I feel like Dalvin Cook is a little bit better of a back. I feel like he's got a little bit of an edge over Kerryon. I think Swift brings a whole new ball game. The lack of injury history just is really, really heartening. I feel good about that. But what I think we have in our running back room is that second level running back, the Bo Scarborough, mm-hmm. the Ty Johnson, right? Even mm-hmm. Huntley, right? Mm-hmm. I think we have some guys here, and we have a whole different world of running backs in Detroit this year. And this to me is a spectacular turn of events. This gives Daryl Bevell some tools that he didn't have and has needed if he's running his old offense, right? If he's running, it doesn't look like he is. It seems to be what he's running something different, but to have the reliability in the run game that you can get that first down on third and three, to have the reliability on the run game that you're not a pass first predictable yeah. offense, all those things. Absolutely. So what does that mean? When you can open up the box, get those guys some room, yeah, now they can move like that. And that's the thing. The running backs we've had have been facing very easy coverage from 103-man boxes 100%. And an inability 100%. To get out of there. They're going to just look better naturally because things have changed. So I think this is really good for the offense as a whole, and I think our running backs overall have definitely improved, and that's going to help not only the running backs and how they look, but the whole team.
I would say if there's one particular area that I'm most optimistic about this year, it is the run game. And I know that a lot of Lions fans listening to this will say, yeah, I've heard that before a million times. And I agree, I have too. But I think it's hard to ignore that already we were seeing things improve last year and we've put a whole lot more resources into it. So
what if, you know, we've been talking about that for a long time. What if one time this Lions team exceeded expectations? Okay. As mad as even already, but just think about it.
Oh God. Oh, careful.
No. I mean, I'm a little bit in fantasy land and I don't want to get people too crazy here, but just, I mean, we talk about regression to the mean. Eventually you just have to stumble into being good because you've stumbled into every way you can find to being bad, right?
I mean, we've seen lots of other teams stumble into being good for a season or two.
Imagine if you have a running back set that just exceeds, right? Mm-hmm. Can you imagine what the difference, if it would have been last year that something like that happened, the difference would have been if Matthew Stafford had gotten hurt? The difference to the outcome of games if Matthew Stafford maybe has to miss the last 5 minutes of a game, and we have a running game that the Chase can rely on. That's big stuff. That's important stuff to this team. That really, really, really puts us in an interesting place. So I think this running back change up in this running back room makes a huge, huge change for this team. I think also the line that we've set up, this offensive line. I think we look really good on the right side, the road graders. I think what Bob Quinn has done, it's taken years, but that tells you about the lack of talent that this team has had. You know what I mean? It's taken years, but they've been able to build themselves into a place where, you know what, next year, wide receiver might actually be a place that we're looking to draft again. I mean, it's been a while, but we used a lot of capital there, a lot of years
in a row. I think it's like, it's going to have to be. I mean, it's going to have to be a spot they address in the offseason, next offseason, just because there's no way they're keeping all three of Kenny and Marvin and Amendola. Not that and as much as I love Amendola, I think, you know, that's an easy move on situation. But the other two is, you know, that's, it's going to be real tough, especially dependent on salary cap issues. So
absolutely. So I think there's a lot to look at. And if you look at, look, it doesn't matter where you are on the Quinn and Patricia train, whether you love them or hate them, they've definitely, with how things look right now, set us up for the next year and the draft. And, you know, you're looking at, you need a quarterback at some point. You know, is it next year? I don't know. Is it the year after? I don't know. The year after that? I hope not. Right. But now you're looking at wide receivers and you're getting guys in the NFL that could be top receivers, and you've put yourself in a really, really good position if they're in charge or whoever's in charge next. And I like that idea. I really, really like that idea that this team has been improved and put into a place where we have both depth and talent across the board. So that's good. All right. Let's see. Go to the next questions. None in the chat yet. We got a lot of good conversation, but this one was the one that came across, and Riz wanted to be here for it, but those, like I said, the storms killed them. What beer would signify each team in the NFC North, and why? I thought that was a good one. I thought it was good. I didn't like cheat and think ahead or anything like that on this. But
I just started brainstorming like 2 minutes before we started the show on it. I've got a couple that fit. I think
okay,
so.
Okay, we can talk through and chat. Keep us going. Let us know. Right. This is. You know, we're interactive with you guys here. All right, so the one thing I want to do before we start attaching beers to teams is, should we do the entire NFL?
I think we should. We can't do it today, right? Yeah. Like, I can't pull that out of my ass, but we'll get there.
Maybe I'll throw it into like an article or a post on the site, and then we can use that to kind of talk about. And maybe I'll get it from you guys. We'll see. We'll see how we do it. I think 32 team beer picking would be, after a while, it'd get kind of boring. For listeners, but there's probably some value to it, so we'll shake that free. Let's see. Oh, that's a good one, Matt. Okay, so let's start right before we do. Let me hit this one really quick. You know, you've had a lot of pain and suffering as a Lions fan, and you need a little something to take care of the pain. Well, we got it for you. CBD.DetroitLionsPodcast. .com. If you're interested in trying cannabinoid oil, I cannot say any three syllable or more words today. Sorry. If you're interested in trying cannabinoid oil, or you've tried it and are enjoying its benefits, this is a great way to get it and give a kickback to the show, because when you use our link, they give us a kickback. I've told the story. I don't want to go too deep into it, but my mother-in-law has some severe pain. And she's had a lot of different things, and even tried the laser center stuff and that, and it just doesn't work. It's kind of whatever. So she's anything to get rid of the back pain. There's a period where she was living with us because she couldn't walk because the pain was so bad, literally couldn't. And is confined now to using a walker because the pain is so bad. And yeah. She's ready. I mean, you got to think, she grew up in the Reefer Madness generation, and she's, you know, she's like ready to, she's like, tell me about the CBD, right? Or maybe should I get some smokables, right? I'm down again, right?
For the Reefer Man. Violent and murderous and indiscriminate sex with.
Yeah, that's great. So anyway, I didn't want to talk about mom-in-law that way. Thanks.
Yeah, well, really, yeah. Well, you brought up the movie. So.
She's a sweet woman. Anyway, I didn't want her to get ripped off again. She's fixed income, so I said, "Let me try this stuff." And you know, because I'm old enough to have my own aches and pains to go with living. Got some and found that, you know, I'm getting some relief. This feels good. The other thing that I've been dealing with and fighting off is insomnia. I have a hard time getting to sleep. Sleep hygiene is ass. And I just not good at it. So I tried this stuff out. I liked it. I worked with it, checked it out, looked, and they have a affiliate program, so we signed up, we worked with them, and now if you guys use that link, we get a kickback, helps support the show, all that stuff. But if you're interested in trying out and getting the effects of CBD oil, it doesn't give you the high. Says, according to what I've seen, you won't fail drug tests, and that's a concern for me in my work, so gotta have that under the belt. But I get all kinds of relief from it. Helps me out. Head on over to cbd.detroitlionspodcast.com. Get yourself some CBD and take care of yourself. Get feeling better. I know for the workouts, too, it's a great way to recover after you burn up the muscles a little bit. So cbd.detroitlionspodcast.com. They have Chong gummies.
Huge concern for you and me.
They have a whole Lawrence Taylor selection. They have a Tommy Chong selection. Oh, I got my own workout program. Tommy Chong selection, and then there's the regular CBDs. I just do the regular tincture oil thing. But, all right, there you go. Let's talk about what beer would signify each team in the NFC North. We've got Matt. Let's see. What did he say? Oh, he used the F word, so they censored him. I'm going to. What the heck? He says the Packers. Should we start with the Packers? Is that okay?
No, I have a good one for the Packers.
Okay. Let me start with the feedback from the chat on who the Packers should be, what beer they should be. Matt says the cheese flavored Leinenkugel.
Jesus, gross.
Sometimes it's freaking great, but you really actually hate it, but have to admire that they made it. Okay.
Do you want me to go with my Packers one?
Yeah, go with yours.
All right. It's Spotted Cow because it's overrated as fuck.
Wow.
It's like it's only loved the way it's loved because it's limited in its distribution. Like, it reminds me of Fat Tire from New Belgium. When New Belgium started increasing their distribution so that more places were able to get it. This was, I don't know, what, 10, 12 years ago. Everybody was obsessed with Fat Tire for a minute, but now it's thought of as like, it's kind of a, you know, just a bland, like, meh. That's Spotted Cow. If Spotted Cow had nationwide distribution, everybody would be over it.
Okay.
That's my personal opinion.
I'm going to actually use a...
And I'm talking about their flagship. I
spent a lot of years, and I still do on occasion, making my own beer, right? And I absolutely nailed a clone for Sierra Nevada. Their pale ale. I make all kinds of different beers. I make a great ESB English beer that's just, you can drink it by the gallon. It's delicious. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to use a class and category of beers, but I'm going to sub it down. So I don't want folks to take this the wrong way. Okay. But IPA, I'm going to go with IPA because, and specifically relatively new small craft IPA, because it's really, really hard to make good beer. Just so you know, and you guys are going to think this is crazy, but to be able to make Bud Light or Miller Light is a massive engineering genius. It's some of the hardest beer in the world to make because it doesn't taste like anything. And any process failure will add a flavor that's not supposed to be there, and especially making it consistently, right? It's absolutely just mind-numbingly difficult. Although I did do a Pilsner Quell that was spectacular, spot on. Anyway, lagers are very, very difficult. IPAs... The thing about it is you can have a terrible process for making beer. You could use some dirty equipment along the way. You could be a poor brewer, but you throw enough hops in there and nobody knows the difference, right? And that's kind of where I think the Packers are. There's a whole lot of bad on that team, but Aaron Rodgers is the hops that covers up all that bad. So you can just pick any new small brewery who hasn't perfected their processes but is already selling it, but it's their standard walk up and drink an IPA beer because it's not a good beer under the taste of 47 pounds of hoppy. There you go. Okay. And I love IPAs, guys. I'm not dogging IPAs.
I do too. That's my favorite, but I do understand where you're coming from.
Okay. I've got a good one from Minnesota. I saw one come by from Minnesota. Let me hit that really quick. And I'm seeing you guys' questions. We'll get those out of the chat as we go on here. Minnesota is Founders, strong and consistent. You can always rely on it. Never bad.
See, I have a Founders related thing for Michigan, but that's, you know.
Okay. Founders is never bad, but sometimes not the absolute best. Strong selection. Okay, I think that's what we got. What do you think of for Minnesota?
Well, okay, so one of the up-and-coming breweries of Minnesota happens to be on my back door, you know, back porch. It is Junkyard Brewing in Moorhead, Minnesota, and it is
your backyard.
It's just a hop, skip, and a jump from where I am right now. I could be there in 10 minutes, but they make really good quality beer overall, but they aren't the best. They aren't the best there is. And I think that's an accurate, you know, analogy for Minnesota. They're consistently good quality beer and interesting and fun to drink as opposed to fun to watch for Vikings fans, not so much for, you know, anybody else, mm-hmm. but they aren't anybody's peak, I think.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. I'm a big fan of the Continental Brews, which is what's going to bring my Minnesota here. Okay. Minnesota. A little bit of Fargo going on, you know. This is a continental beer. It's Leffe Blonde, right? Because it covers the whole Viking thing, right?
Sure.
Leffe Blonde is a super strong beer. I almost use this one for the Packers for similar reasons. But it's a super strong beer. It's a little bit of a Hefeweizen that's really strong. You start to taste it and you really, really like it. But at the end, it's a little bit disappointing. It's a good beer. It's a really, really good beer, but it's just not all that. So I'm going to go with a Leffe Blonde. Sure. And they'll F you up, right? They'll F you up, but it's just not great. Not over the top great. It's not like a Chimay or something like that. All right. Let's see. We'll move on. Chris C., I see you make your own wines and liquors. Let's talk if you've got extra. As a matter of fact, I would like to learn to do some distillation, so... Let's chat later. Okay. Let's think. We move on to the old
Chicago
beers. What do you get from the beers? Besides a sausage, what do you
think?
I mean,
this is a tough one. This was the hardest one for me. Because I'm not as familiar with craft beer from Chicago as I am with the others.
Oh, you're trying to keep it local. Okay.
Right. We could take it in whatever direction we want to take it, but I figured, well, you're going one way, I'll go that way. Mm-hmm. I think maybe I'll just say like Two Brothers as a brewery, because I think I've been disappointed with everything I've had from them. Maybe they were great once back in 1985, but nothing they've had for me has stood out as really that impressive. And you would think a city like Chicago and a state like Illinois, with the pride they put into things like sausages and of that nature, that they would be a monolith, you know, of craft beer, but they just don't have, what any of the other states in the NFC North have in terms of
quality, anything
being prodigious in any one area in that fort. But, and if I'm wrong, you know, if you could point out something to me that I'm missing, please feel free, because I'm probably missing something. But
they've got the historical basketball documentaries nailed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Last time was a good documentary.
Also, we didn't even mention old Milwaukee for Wisconsin, but you know.
They're better than that. Even Milwaukee's best, right? They're better than that.
Yeah. I really like Bent River out of Illinois, but okay. I mean, it's sometimes I'm disappointed by what I get.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say I'm going to go with a style. It's an American style. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm going to indict a whole lot of people. I'm going to indict 99.9% of craft breweries right now. And I'm sorry, folks. I am a massive lover of Bavarian Hefeweizen. I absolutely love it.
I really like it too. Yeah. I'm a big fan.
It's to me, and I like all kinds of beer, all different kinds of beer. I love beer. I love liquor, all that stuff. But the Hefeweizen beer is like, I could sit down and just pound a 12 pack of that in an evening and enjoy the heck out of it. Right. But I have been absolutely gutted and disappointed by every single American craft hef ever. They use the wrong yeast.
See?
They use the wrong yeast. The American hef is its own style, and I get it. right? But there has not been, and I've tried tons. You can't find a Francis Connor. You can't find an Andex. Okay. You can't find a Weinstephaner. And this is like the bed. This is where it started. These are recipes and breweries from 1516,
right,
the style began. There's a character and a fullness to it that just, they're always so, they lack the full body, you know, mouth feel. They're just, they're just not. And I actually now I've just stopped trying with American crafts in the Hefe area. Love all kinds of American craft beer. Don't get me wrong, but it's just absolutely.
Sure. Garbage. I can buy that. I don't agree necessarily, but I definitely get where you're coming from with that.
Okay. Thank you. All right. So now we get to the Detroit Lions.
We're building bridges, Chris.
We're building bridges. Okay. I'm going to jump off one along the way, but go ahead. We got the Detroit Lions. What beer signifies the Lions for you?
Okay, so there's two possibilities.
I should have said American Hef for that one, but go ahead.
Right. There's the, when I'm a homer, it's Bell's Two Hearted, which might go on the hall of the Mount Rushmore of craft beer. Bell's Two Hearted is arguably one of the greatest beers ever created. And Michigan based Bell's. So, I mean, I'll go with that. When I'm upset, it's anything by Founders. And that's because Founders led me to believe that there were great things in store and then they sold out. And now I can't buy anything they're doing. So,
okay. No, that's fair. I'm just going to take Matt's because I hadn't, like I said, I haven't thought of this before the show. I'm going to stick with this for now. Matt from the chat. Lions are Yuengling. It's better than you think, but not as good as you want. It's cheap, and sometimes it surprises you. I think that's a good rounded end. And that's
sure.
In the heat here.
I would have saved Yuengling for when we're doing the NFL as a whole. I'd have put it in like I'd have found a way to make it fit with
Panthers
the Eagles. But
I mean, that's and here where especially where I'm at, you get the like the White Claw
flavorless
or whatever, right? It's okay, but when you're sitting in 100 degree heat and 99% humidity. You don't necessarily want a big bodied IPA to hit you up, right? You're gonna sweat this thing out pretty quick, so you want to be able to put a lot of them down without a whole lot of effect. So Yuengling, actually, if you're just hanging out with the guys and just drinking outside at the Tiki Hut in front of the
beach, any of you happen Yuengling to be, and if anyone listening happens to ever be driving through North Dakota and you want to bring Yuengling this way, I know people who will buy it from you for about twice what you bought it for. So
yeah. There you go.
We don't all get right it out here.
With that, we're going to move on. We got a lot of good questions in the chat to get to. Let's see. Shuey 54. Do you think the Lions are done signing defensive free agents, or do you think they're going to make a splash on a big name free agent?
I'm trying to remember who's left. I mean, Clowney is still out there, but that's I cannot see that happening.
No, Clowney's got to have a big price cut, right?
I just don't think there's anybody out there who they could sign. Like if there's anybody out there that they signed and it was a splash deal, then they probably fucked up. I honestly think the Lions and Quinn, and I don't mean to give too much credit where credit isn't necessarily due, but I think they're holding as much money as they can because they don't know what the cap situation is going to be like after this year. And if they hold a lot of money and can use it, you know, next year to
beat everybody
not
else,
fail and be able to do more than other teams can do, I think that's the idea. So no, I don't, I think they are done. I don't think there's a splash signing. There might be a depth thing here and there, but
yeah, Clowney is an interesting addition. And would probably be the only real splash player I think left for them. Although, who's the guy that didn't just get signed? Goddamn, starts has a T. Name starts with a T.
I don't remember. I forget. Talking about.
Anyway, if it isn't Clowney, the only signings I can see us really looking at making would be at wide receiver or defensive tackle.
Right.
And I just don't see anybody out there that jumps out as a big splash signing or worth any kind of big money. So as far as big splashes go, no, we may not be done. And I would see, I think training camp is going to be real interesting with injuries this year, because I think a lot of guys took some time off that maybe they shouldn't have. And maybe try to do the beers around the league thing, but in person. So I think injuries are going to be a bit of an issue this year. So we, and not to rule out signing anybody else, right? Because there's going to be backfills that have to happen for everybody. So that may make or break a lot of teams this year, who they can get out of these lower tier players to at least plug a hole for them. All right.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Adam, how you doing, brother? We got a question. If Okuda needs a year as a cornerback too, and you have to rely on Trufant as CB1, does the secondary survive? It's going to be difficult. So I'll tell you, if that's the situation, if he's only CB2 caliber and Trufant is the guy, I think the secondary survives. I think it's a weakness again, like it was. But I don't expect... barring injury, I don't expect us to have problems with Okuda at all. He's just been, for all this time, shown the ability to be able to do it and do it well. He, again, you can't tell because the talent he's playing against, but he looks easily better than Slay coming out of school. What has he done in the offseason is going to be the big difference maker. What has he done here in this time off as far as working out and getting better? But the head on this kid tells me that he isn't going beers around the league, and he's doing the right thing to advance his career and to be the very, very best he can. I think he's got a situation where, like Marvin Jones came in and he was supposedly replacing Calvin Johnson, right? And the team made it really clear that he's not a replacement for Calvin. You know, Marvin isn't
right,
a replacement.
Right.
He's Marvin Jones, right? Okay. And they try to lower expectations. Everybody right now is looking... And all eyes are on Okuda, and he's a replacement for Darius Slay. So that's kind of where my head's at.
I agree.
Okay. All right.
It's nothing to add.
Roll on. I had to look him up. I think it's a good Latavius Murray. Thank you. Couple other. Okay, here we go. Sorry, it takes a little bit. Case, Matt's going to Michigan this summer via car from Seattle, so he may drop some off for you. He's a good
guy. Hey, nice.
He's a good guy. So he'll reach out. All right, let's see. We're going to weigh your situations if we hold for the 53-man cuts and save some cash for the trade deadline. I think we go that route when we know what the team needs are. True. Adam, yeah, difficult transition with the shortened offseason, but his head, he has him in a great shot. So, cool. Yeah, thanks, Adam. Good talking to you too, brother. All right, so we're going to move on here. We'll take another question or two, or if we get him here, we'll move on to the next piece. Got to hit really quick. Our friends, our good friends over at Fanatics. You ever heard of that? That's where you get your Okuda jersey.
Once or twice.
You get your, and it's a limited edition right now. You know, the Okuda number one jersey is not going to hang around for long. So if you want one and you want to be rocking that 3 and 4 years an hour when he's a superstar and he's like number, 29 or something, whatever he is at that point, right? And have him as number one and he's a superstar, that's going to be a fun jersey to walk around in. It's going to be one that not many people have. How do you get it? Head on over to Fanatics, fanatics.detroitlionspodcast.com. Drop you right into the Lions store over there. Get yourself some jerseys, hats, whatever. I got a new hat coming. It actually is supposed to arrive today. It wasn't here when we started doing the show. I'll rock that next week. But go on over there, fanatics.detroitlionspodcast.com. Couple of extra keystrokes, but it gets you in, and everything you buy gives us a kickback. Again, we talked about it earlier. Everything we do, we try to help make sure that you get something good out of it by helping us. This is that way to help us out without costing yourself a dime. You were going to do that anyway. You were going to get your Lions gear if you use the fanatics.detroitlionspodcast.com link. They gave us a kickback. And they cut into their own profits, the corporate goons, and they give us, the little guy, the small business, a little hand along the way. All right. Let's talk about something coming up. Our next episode, Case, it's very, very special. Episode 269. I know what you're thinking, but that's not why it's special. We're not numerologists here.
Okay. What do you think I'm thinking, Chris?
I know what you're thinking. I know that you know that I
need
know
you to explain this.
It's thinking.
Totally over my head. It's totally, I'm completely lost here.
Yeah, I'm certain you are. All right. So also, not just because number, but the next show we do, we will be 5 years old. Literally to the day. We'll turn 5 years of doing the podcast, and thank you all to your support along the way. It's been a lot of fun. Started out, I just went back and listened to chunks of episode one today, and how much different it is from episode 267 that we did before this one. And it's pretty crazy, man. It's pretty crazy. So anyway, yeah, 5 years, we'll do something. We'll send do a little thing, maybe in case of buy a birthday cake or something. But we'll get something together. It's a great milestone for us. We'll be into year number six after that, starting our sixth year. And we haven't killed each other
feels
yet.
Like so
and
much
we've actually
longer.
Met. God. We've met and we haven't killed each other. That's really something.
We even slept in the same room.
Goes back to the episode number. All right, here we go. Also got to talk about, so the training camp party. This is on. We are doing this. We don't know what it's going to be yet. We've got to deal with Governor Whitmer. We got, 2 days till the shutdown's over and we can start hearing about what the phases sound like and what opening's going to look like. But I don't care if it's just grab a room at a bar and everybody show up and we kind of just drank. Or we do food and things with the speakers and guests and all that stuff. We can do it either way. It depends what the outlook is. But it's going to be sometime around, I just give you a little guess date here as I look at my calendar, somewhere around July 31st, August 1st. That's usually the weekend it is. What we'll do is we'll do it. It's during training camp, so you can find time that day. If you take the day off to go down to Island Park, see the team work out, if they allow everybody to do that. And then that night we'll have a big party and we'll hang out together and we're going to do it when there's no training camp the next day. So we can get our friends like Justin Rogers and some of the other folks in the media. Riz will be there, of course, to drop by and have fun. And maybe we'll get another Dan Miller showing and maybe we'll see if we can get both Dan and Jim Brandstetter to show up together. That would be great. I don't think we've seen them together for a bit. It'd be fun to have a little reunion with the pair of guys and have some talk. Anyway, with that, we'll do something. So get that weekend clear on your schedule. It's going to be likely either that Friday or Saturday, the 31st or the 1st. But it will be a party. Get it clear, and let's go have some fun, guys. I'm coming to town, and for the Patreon people, we're probably going to do something the night before, just a little get-together as well, and do a hang and bang there. So join us. That'll be a lot of cool. With that, we'll talk about our schedule a little bit. We're off next week. No show next week. So the next show we do will be the week after that, which winds up being the 24th, if I'm not wrong. Yeah, it's the 24th of June will be our next show, which is actually our anniversary, exactly our five-year birthday. And then we're going to go every week and then take off the week of July 6th, and then we're back on for training camp, and then the party, and the preseason, and the season, and the playoffs, and then the Super Bowl. So we will be rocking a hard time. I think after that break in July, our next week off isn't until the bye week. There's one good thing about the week five bye week there, Case.
Sure, yeah.
All right, let's see. Any other questions, folks? We got a Tigers. They took Torkelson. That's good news, right, Case?
Say it again.
The Tigers. They picked up Torkelson.
What about him?
Torkelson. They picked him up.
What's a Torkelson?
Next time we share a room, I'll show
you. This is a Lions podcast. I don't know shit about baseball. I'm glad I know the Tigers are a baseball team. Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God, my friend. All right. This is something. Okay, so any other? We got Julian Aquara. Any other topics that we can cover here? I think this is a light week, my friend.
It's been tough.
We've put everything together.
We didn't talk about Dalvin, did we?
Dalvin? Oh, my God. Case. Please, please take us around the division. Oh, I haven't been able to use that in so long. Oh, that's great. Such a nice little segue around the division, Case. Let's talk about Dalvin.
I don't have anything about the Packers or the Bears to talk about today, but we obviously do have one, you know, big piece of information for the Vikings, and that is that Dalvin Cook has expressed anyway at this point in time that he's planning to hold out through indefinitely for a new contract. And what initially sounded like he was trying to get Christian McCaffrey money now sounds more like like a $13 million a year average as opposed to a $16 million a year average, but it is still like it's turmoil for the Vikings that it's hard to see how they benefit as a team from it at all. That's the kind of thing we like to talk about. So
those are the NFC North pain party lights in the background of my scene.
If you notice, yeah, those. That's perfect. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Yeah, that's all bad for Minnesota. That's all bad because Dalvin's.
It's bad for Dalvin Cook.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Because I mean, there's nothing about this that's a good idea for him. From you know, if you're not familiar, the new CBA has I don't know the absolute specifics of it. So if somebody wants to fill us in and wants us to, you know, sound better than we already do.
God, Case.
Yeah, well, not as self-effacing as I usually am, I guess. But if somebody has more information, please, you know, fill us in. But the idea that I picked up was that on the new CBA, you don't get an accrued season if you hold out, like, at all. So if he doesn't hold out, so if he holds out through training camp, in the way I read it, he's still under contract with the Vikings the next year. It's not like he gets to hold out a few games or anything like that and then immediately be a free agent. He's still under contract, even though he didn't get paid.
Wait,
so it doesn't hurt the Vikings necessarily if he holds out.
Were you telling me last year that Slay and Snacks weren't holding out?
Well, I mean, they weren't. neither of them said they were.
No.
Dalvin specifically said he's holding out. Yeah. Like this is a completely different scenario, and it's also a completely different CBA.
Yeah, they didn't say that. You're right. He said he was holding out, but that could just be an empty threat. Slay and Snacks left it open to determination. They just weren't showing up, and right. Nobody knew when they were going to show up. So they could have held out, right? They just didn't say it.
Right.
So, yeah, I guess they were holding out, though. I mean, they weren't showing up at mandatory activity, so the effect is the same. Whatever words you want to call it.
I mean, you could see how it would have benefited the Lions last year to have the CBA as it is now, even if it's not a beneficial thing for the players.
Oh yeah,
to have it that way.
It's generally written when they learn from the Lions' problems, right? Let's talk about rookie contract and Matthew Stafford and Calvin Johnson pickups, right? I mean, God, we were just destroyed there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Dalvin Cook holding out. That's gonna be interesting. Don H. They can franchise him for the next 3 years. That would be funny. Dalvin's in trouble. Basically, is this just basically a trade demand?
Well, who's gonna pay for him? Who's gonna pay and give up anything for him? Who's gonna pick him up with the intent of signing him to a long term contract when he hasn't spent a single season in the NFL fully healthy? It's not that I don't understand where he's coming from. I do 100%. I understand that he thinks he's, you know, earned something more than what he's got right now. He's earned some assurances, but it makes absolutely no sense. It sucks for the players that the league is built this way. And I'm not trying to say otherwise, but the way the league is built, it makes absolutely no sense for a team to try to, you know, go after a guy who talented. Absolutely. But how can you even expect him to be there, you know, half the season at this point? Yeah. So he's up a creek with no paddle.
And how much money do they have to give him? They really don't have.
Go ahead.
Sorry. They don't have the money to give him, do they? I mean, whatever they give him, they would hamstring themselves for foreseeable future. Well, Case has been hamstrung by his internet. That's the face that you can see on the YouTube. Oh, there he is. Okay.
Yeah, that froze on me for a sec. Sorry about that.
Yep. What can they do? I mean, they don't have the money to give them. If they did, they would hamstring themselves for the foreseeable future, right?
Right. There's nothing the Vikings can even do. Like, why? I feel like Dalvin Cook got some bad advice.
Maybe. But he
from
may
his
be able,
agent.
He may be able to pinch something out of the Vikings, right? The ideal world is that he gets money out of them, puts them in a much, much worse position, continues getting injured, and they choke out of it because of it. And then the ongoing decline of Aaron Rodgers chokes them out. The de facto heroes of the NFC North then become the Detroit Lions in his playoff
time. The only way this plays as a benefit to Dalvin Cook is if he, the initial like ask price is nowhere near what he'd actually settle for.
Right.
Because if he plays out, if he just plays out his rookie contract and tries to hit free agency, he's only going to get the market value for a guy who's had the injuries he's had. And it's not going to be that high. Yep. If he's able to get the Vikings, who like him a lot and like him in their system a lot when he's around, if he's able to get a little bit more out of them than he would be able to on the free agent market, then that's the only way this turns out as a positive for him. But he's going to have to come down. He's going to have to come down significantly.
Yep. Yeah.
For him, he's not Christian McCaffrey.
No, he's not. He's
not Zeke Elliott.
No.
Both of those guys are not only better than it, they're not only better than him, but they're healthy.
It goes back to what we said. He's Kerryon Johnson.
Yeah.
Right? He's a little bit better version of Kerryon. So.
And fortunately for us, Kerryon is not piping up about that kind of thing.
Well, because Kerryon seems to be a much smarter man.
I hope. I also think that if Kerryon were to put the Lions in that situation, they'd see like, whatever, see ya, bye. Yeah.
Oh, that's the fastest revolving door. They actually installed a motor to accelerate to see how far they can throw people when they hit the exit on that door. It's Quinn did make some area upgrades when he came in there, and he worked with the team to do that. All right, again, we're not doing next week. I think the week after we'll have a lot more robust content as things are opening up. The league has things happening. The folks are back in Allen Park and things start moving there. I'm really, 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 really excited about what we got coming. This is kind of like, it's almost like the end of like a broadcast season and the start of a new one. And it always is at this time of year when we started our show on that kind of birthday. It's always like, this is the dead spot. This is where the dead spot starts. And when we get to that spot where we kick the show off and we really start looking forward, it becomes like the whole new mindset and the whole new kick. We're going to put all the last year, all the last season, the draft, all that stuff is basically going to bed. We're now looking forward to training camp and to what the 2020 season brings for these Detroit Lions. I'm excited about what we have to report for you guys and the level of reporting we're able to get. This is going to be a big year. We're going beyond just a Senior Bowl. We're going beyond just training camp and the parties and all that. This is going to be, it only gets bigger, and it does so thanks to you guys and all your support and help. So thank you, everybody. With that, we're going to call this a show. Remember, we need your involvement. Use the comments of the subreddit to give us your feedback. We appreciate that. It helps us make the show better. Also, don't forget about us on Patreon. Patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Check us out on Facebook. Facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, Twitter @DETLionsPodcast, YouTube.com/DetroitLionsPodcast. Watch there for some vlogs as we do some stuff. You'll get some really good stuff coming in on that here in the next couple of weeks too, as well as our week off. Give us a call via Skype at Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast, or call us on the Lions line at 929-33-LIONS. It's 929-335-4667. And be sure to go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com, subscribe to the podcast, so we can show up in your ears automatically. Thank you for tuning in. We're going to see you next time on the Detroit Lions Podcast. Remember, no pants, no toasters, no hot tubs, no problems, baby, because we're your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection.
Final seconds winding down, and look at that. How big is that? Chris and Case out of time. Pack the bag, start the plane. This